Hush Show, where every day is like Christmas and every night is like New Year's Eve.
Hells yeah. And every next day is like the worst hangover you've ever had.
So we are here tonight. We are in the extreme heat of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm, we're in a hot room.
We're going to sweat it up, do a little sweat lodge podcasting.
We're going to turn it up. It's not hot enough for me.
Amy, Susan, how are you doing?
I can only speak for myself, but I am doing pretty well.
I can speak for me, and I'm doing well as well.
Oh, good. How about you, Geraldine?
I am great.
Good.
We have a lot of stuff to go over.
We have
three voicemails.
Oh, my gosh.
We have a super important listener question, query, advice.
Yeah. So much stuff.
Breaking news.
We have a big announcement.
From Camp Susan.
From Camp Susan.
Yes!
Big, big news. I'll save that till later.
Okay.
And we have a book recommendation, which would be, we can also just put off till next week.
Okay, so let's jump right in to the juicy stuff.
Yes, the juicy stuff's always the best.
Now, we love it when our listeners update us on what's going on with their lives. And just today, we received an update from our listener, Sassy.
One of our most beloved and longest time listeners, Sassy.
We love Sassy.
Me too, we love her.
She checked in a while ago, a few months ago, that she had had just to refresh everyone's memory, in my own memory, that she had had a long period of celibacy or abstinence, and then she had an encounter, sort of a one-night stand with someone who was very wham-bam, thank you,
ma'am. With Jack Hammer.
With Jack Hammer. And she was bummed. She wasn't quite sure, and I think that's where she wrote to us.
And yeah, she was in pain.
We were like, go get your lube.
Go to the doctor. Tell him not to do that again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that apparently, from what we have read from her latest email, that relationship ended. She's been kind of doing her thing out there. And I'm just going to read her message now. She says, now I'm in a really awkward, bad, not cool situation. I made out and slept with a man that is in a very unhappy marriage. It happened one time and we both had been drinking heavily. But now I find myself feeling not as bad as I wish I did. I know this sounds terrible. Please don't hate me. I wish his marriage would get better. I do. I just don't know how to stop this crazy train that I'm on. I'm going to play Ozzy Osbourne's Crazy Train as our outro music. I don't see him separating from his wife anytime soon, and I know that he is not going to have a relationship with me. It's like we are both desperate for love, affection, and attention, that we are drawn to each other. I know it's a bad excuse, though. When I really dig down, I do feel like a terrible person. And then she followed up to say that she doesn't see them in a relationship.
Okay.
Well, I
have a lot to say about this, so just let me know when you're ready for me.
Okay. Amy, I'm going to throw it over to you.
All right. I don't want to hog the microphone, but I'm going to.
Please do.
And I have a lot to say, and I will tell you all now, I'm unable to reveal my sources, but I do have a lot of opinions about this one. So the thing about... So marriages, a lot of people's marriages are really fucked up. Let me start there. I mean, a lot of people's marriages are really good. Not everybody cheats, of course. Mm-hmm. But marriage is really complicated. And I think a lot of people's marriages are existing in the weird gray area of not great and not terrible. And people aren't talking about stuff. And I just think that happens probably all the time.
Yeah, a communication breakdown.
Yeah, communication breakdown. Mm-hmm. And it's okay day to day, but, you know, not great. Anyway, I think that when you think about sleeping with a married person, it is not something I would never suggest it to anyone. I would never be like, you go, girl, you know, who cares?
Yeah.
It is, when you look at it through a lens of right and wrong, it is the wrong choice. Absolutely. For reasons that are obvious. However, that's easy for us to say on the outside of it. I think when you get in the situation, it can be very complicated. And things that would seem so obviously right and wrong can be definitely in a gray area. Just get a little confusing and messed up. Sassy, when you say you don't feel as bad as you think you should, you feel as bad or as not bad as you do. It doesn't make you a bad person. I mean, it just makes you, this is how you feel.
Yeah, you can't argue with your feelings.
You cannot argue with your feelings.
Yeah.
So I think you need to, don't get too down on yourself for that one. If you don't regret it, you don't have to regret it. Mm-hmm. As far as continuing to be in a relationship with a married man or married person, I think that well, okay, so I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to try to, I feel like our listeners are going to crucify me for saying there's anything good about it, but I'm going to try to talk about it really objectively. I think there are pros and cons. So I think the pros of that situation, which is not one I condone, it is not one I recommend. However, it's not, people do it. So there must be something that people like about it, right?
A lot of people do it.
So, I mean, I think some of the pros are that it exists. First of all, usually the sex is fucking awesome. So I hear it's like super, super hot sex because of the situation, right? You know, you only have this like borrowed time with sneaking around and you're both so hot for each other, you know, super awesome. And I think that another thing is that the relationship can exist in this little bubble where you don't actually have to know each other in a way. Like you can, right. You know, like when you first meet someone and you totally idealize them.
You're not going out for long lingering dinners or...
Well, you're not dealing with like everyday thing. You can really sustain that state of like, oh, you're perfect. No, you're perfect. No, you're perfect. You know, because you don't have to deal with like, oh, you left the toilet seat up, or, oh, I have this habit of yours is kind of annoying, you know, or whatever.
To pick the kids up.
I think usually the person who is the married spouse can really like, you know, love or like or adore, treat the other person so well. Like you know, if you want to have this person be totally crazy about you, it's great because they don't, the expectations are so low. Mm-hmm. You know, the other person will definitely put you up on a pedestal. So, you know, these are the good, I mean, and you don't have to deliver much. You don't have to like go meet his parents. You don't have to go to his kids' play, whatever, you know, you don't do any of those things. Yeah. So, there are definitely things about it. I mean, on the con side, aside from the fact that it's wrong or whatever, no matter what that guy tells you, you're always going to be a second class citizen, you know? Like you're always going to be like, if you have, I was thinking about this on the way here, like if you have sassy, if you had like a kitten that you're a cat that you raised from a kitten that you love so much, and then the cat died, and if dude's wife had a cat from a kitten that she loved so much and then the cat died, and the two cat funerals were on the same day, like he's not going to your cat funeral, he's going to her cat funeral, you know? Like so in that way you're always just going to be, you know, not the one who's first priority, because that's just kind of the definition. And that can be disappointing or confusing, especially if the guy tells you certain things when you're together, you know, and he's not gonna come up to it. The other thing is that I think that in this kind of situation, the married person is to shoulder most of the blame. You know, I think it's more the married person's problem than the other woman's problem.
I can see that.
I don't think she's free from blame, but I wouldn't, you know, most people I don't think are like, I'm going to get that guy and make him my husband and I don't care, meh, you know? So, but I also think you are, even though you're once removed from the situation, you're kind of helping somebody really fuck someone else over, you know? And even if the other person is crazy, and that should exist in a vacuum. I mean, even if the other person's like some crazy bitch or whatever, like it still should not be cool for you to feel like it's okay. Like you shouldn't justify that to yourself. Like it's okay because she's like crazy bitch, you know? If she's a crazy bitch or she's a saint, like you're still in your own, your set of ethics, like you are kind of helping to do something pretty shitty to somebody, you know? So there's that to live with. I think if you're going to do it, you should look at it full in the face, you know? I mean, I think the only way really to have a relationship with a married guy, especially if you don't see him leaving his wife and you don't know if you want a relationship in sales, I don't know if you're going to do this again, so I'm just kind of talking in a larger perspective, is to be like, to accept it for what it is, you know, to be able to live with yourself knowing what you're doing, and to be able to say, this is the situation and I accept it for what it is, and if it goes away, it might go away. Okay, I have one more point.
Okay.
We just talk about the cheating spouse. Because it's easy to say, I mean, I'm sure a lot of guys or women are assholes and just do it, or incredibly immature or in denial.
There's a lot of assholes out there.
There's a lot of assholes out there.
They're just going to do what they want to do.
That are just going to do it. Yeah. But I also think that for some people, it can come from a place of real confusion, you know.
Or need.
Need and self-loathing. And I think it can really make a person, an otherwise pretty good person who's maybe immature, doesn't want to deal with some stuff. Like, it can kind of happen to people you wouldn't think would be able to be capable of it, is what I'm saying, I guess. Okay. So, and in the best situation, those hopefully it like provides some, it kind of forces people to look at, you know, what they're doing and will provide some growth, which is either I have to leave my spouse or I have to make it up, you know, work it out with my spouse is like best case scenario. So I don't know. I think it's just so easy to, having been very close to that situation and knowing people close to that situation, it's just so easy to crucify everybody and get on a high horse. But having, like I said, you know, experience, you know, their with friends and with myself a little bit, it's like, it can be pretty complex. Mm-hmm. That's all I have to say.
Amy, mm-hmm. valid points all around.
Jerome's going to disagree with
everything. No, I'm not going to disagree with you, but no, I'm not going to mm-hmm. disagree. I'm going to add. I'm going to augment. And I'm going to pull out my inner Dan Savage.
Okay.
Because... this is the way marriages often dissolve and disrupt. I don't mm-hmm. know if it's the case for Sassy, but sometimes a mediocre, not even mediocre, a bad marriage can exist for many, many, many mm-hmm. years because there's no catalyst
right.
to cause the dissolution of the marriage. So people end their marriages by having affairs. I mean, mm-hmm. so this man, she has said they're probably not going to be in a relationship. Sounds like, but this is his way, perhaps, mm-hmm. of ending his marriage.
Yeah.
It may not happen, you know, this month or.
I mean, Dan Savage calls it pressing the self-destruct button. Oh, pressing right? Pressing the destroy button or whatever he calls it.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So, and often, I mean, how many people do we know who have been previously married and are now with someone that they met when they were married? I mean, a lot.
That happens. And also, you know, I've also heard those relationships don't really work out too, you know, but it does happen. People stay together too.
You mean somebody you met while you're married and had an attraction to, and then when you're not married?
Like some people who have affairs.
A cheater always cheats.
No, not necessarily. Like people who have an affair and leave their spouse for the person they're having an affair with, that relationship doesn't always work out.
Oh. Because it may just be a catalyst.
It might just be a catalyst. It may just, yeah. Maybe when you're in the real world together, you're like, oh, you're kind of lame, you know,
whatever. I guess it depends on the situation, because I think of it more as a cliche of that, like, oh, we met when we were both married and we were in dead marriages and then we found each other and now we've been together for 25 years or.
Yeah, that totally happens too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a crapshoot.
It is a crapshoot. But I mean, Sassy, I know Sassy is a very good person who is invested in being a good person.
She likes cats.
And she likes cats. So I would say just don't be honest with yourself. Be really honest with yourself, but don't be too hard on yourself.
It sounds like she's just sort of jumped on the carousel of dating and casual dating. Mm-hmm. And so apparently this attraction is very strong. However, if you don't feel good about yourself, like you got this whole playing field. Yes. Like it sounds like you're just getting into the game.
I would encourage her to not do it again.
Yeah. So get out there. Mm-hmm. Re-enable your OkCupid account.
Yeah.
or give yourself like, I don't know, a couple months of a break.
Yeah.
And then get back out there because it sounds like, you know, you connected with this one person, mm-hmm. but, you know, not 100%. So it's a numbers game. Just keep your batting average up.
Yeah, exactly.
Susan, do you have anything to add?
I was trying to think if I ever slept with a married guy. And no, I don't think I have.
But you've slept with guys who had girlfriends. Mm-hmm. You blew some guy who had a girlfriend, right? Backstage,
probably,
somewhere. You told us about this once. Yeah.
No, I had a... I was actually in a relationship and mm-hmm. I was the cheater.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was the stepper outer.
Yeah. And what was... how did that feel to you?
Fine. I was like 20 something. I know.
It's kind of different in a marriage.
So was it a catalyst to get out of the established relationship and move on to something else?
I guess. Maybe after like the fifth time I cheated on him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably about 10.
I mean, I think some people do it. Will be serial cheaters in a marriage. Maybe the guy Sassy met, you know, it takes a lot to really say, hold on, let me look at what I'm doing. Let me think about it. What mm-hmm. does this mean? How do I feel about my marriage? That takes a lot, you know? And I think people more like, probably more likely to just keep cheating and rationalizing it to themselves why it's okay.
I hope we helped Sassy.
I hope mm-hmm. so too.
I hope she keeps updating.
I hope so too. And Sassy, you have, I would say it doesn't sound like she wants to do it again. It doesn't sound like she's like, I'm in love, you know?
No. Yeah. Yeah.
So I would say don't go back there.
Go somewhere else.
It gets so complicated. Yeah. So go somewhere else if it's not. If you can resist it, resist it.
Yeah.
Go where the food is cheaper.
Yes.
And better.
And better. And better. And you don't have to take it off someone else's plate.
Yeah.
So we got a couple of voicemails this week. People were so nice to listen to us because last week I was like, oh, we don't have any voicemails.
Oh, okay.
And then some people stepped up to the plate. So let's take a listen.
Hello, ladies. This is Carol, Sleepless in St. Louis. And I just wanted to call in and commend you all for... a wonderful, wonderful podcast. and tell you that truly appreciate you all sharing your journeys and your lives with all of us out here. You are definitely not alone. There's quite a few of us out here who, as we hear your experiences and your stories, we have either experienced ourselves real time, or we have made it past a certain point and are looking back and saying, oh, been there, done that. Or far, far back away from it and can really look back and see the wisdom in some of the things that you guys are experiencing now. Truly wanted to echo your experience with Kermit, because definitely I've had that experience, and was very, very happy to hear that you had made the decision to walk away from that, because I know from experience that it basically just sucks the life out of you and sucks your joy away and your spirit. And as I heard you starting to creep into that relationship, I thought, oh, no, please, no, please, no. Let her get out. Let her get out. That's not a good path. But anyway, just wanted to thank you all for your podcast. Thank you all for your inspiration. And keep up the good work. Thank you.
Carol. You know how I imagine Carol?
How do you imagine Carol?
I imagine her sitting in her arts and crafts bungalow at her kitchen table wearing a comfy robe, sipping a steaming hot cup of coffee and thinking deep thoughts.
And her kitchen is yellow.
And her kitchen's yellow, and she's got a nice tablecloth on her little round table.
Mm-hmm, yep. Totally. Yep.
Carol, that was such a nice, thoughtful.
It was very lovely.
So thoughtful.
Voicemail. Yeah. That we had smiles on our faces we while did. We were listening. Yeah. That was great. Thank you.
And if there's one word that I think about when someone says the Because Show, I think wisdom.
Me too.
Deeply, deeply buried underneath.
So buried.
So buried. Yeah. So now we're going to take a little break. I'm not going to play a voicemail. I'm going to tease you.
Man.
And dangle it.
Dangle it, Geraldine.
Dangle, dangle.
I'm going to dangle it in the future. But we have an update. You know, this crazy trend that's going on of like mixing things together, like the squiggle. No, not the squiggle. Squiggle is just a square bagel. But
the pake and the cronut.
The pake and also chocolate chicken. There was that restaurant. So now in San Francisco, the American Cupcake restaurant has offered a dish that's called the Red Velvet Cake Chicken.
Gross. That's disgusting.
And what this is, it's a chicken breast that has been soaked in red velvet cake batter, rolled in toasted red velvet cupcake crumbs, and fried.
Wow.
It comes with a garlic and cream cheese mashed potato and cocoa-infused coleslaw.
That's really fucking
That's
gross.
That's a lot of stuff.
You know what I want to do?
What?
I want to take a chicken, and you know how people like kind of separate the skin sometimes and mm-hmm. stuff? I want to stuff frosting under there.
Ooh.
I want a chicken.
Frosting chicken?
I want to have a chicken with like...
It'd be a frickin'.
Yes. Or a chosting. I want a chicken that with like frosting in between the skin and the meat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh. I could see that. Yeah. Sure. With maybe a little bit like a spicy cinnamony.
Yeah, and like flavor. Sea salt on it.
That sounds pretty good.
That sounds kind of gross.
I like my sweet and savory.
Yeah,
together.
I do too. But I don't need that. That whole thing just sounded disgusting.
Yeah.
No offense, chicken velvet, red velvet cake people.
Well, you may find this disgusting, or you may find it intriguing. But Doritos, they have this new, it's been out for a while, it's been totally off my radar, but they have these mystery flavors out.
Do you guys know? Aren't all Doritos mystery flavored?
I got armpit.
Well, they don't have names, and they're...
This one tastes like a foot.
They're like Mylar packaging, so you can't see what it looks like inside. And okay. They just have numbers, like Doritos 804, Doritos 448.
They just make those with like the leftover crumbles. Bottom of the vat.
It's the fart Doritos.
Well, I did a little bit of research to find out what's going on with these mystery Doritos. And it turns out they're having sort of a contest where tasters can write in on the Facebook page and say which flavor should be the number one new one. And apparently, now this is supposed to be kind of like top secret. This is on the down low, but I found out what the flavors are.
Okay.
Ooh. Okay.
One is called citrus barbecue.
Gross.
One is burnt chocolate.
Dorito, gross.
And one is called Cheese and Extreme Heat.
No, thank you.
Cheese and Extreme Heat.
That's the armpit
that
one.
That sounds like a, like Spanglish or what is the other one with the Japanese?
Oh yeah, that's translated.
Yeah, the translated. Yeah, mistranslated. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think I actually came across these when I was walking past like the closeout discount like aisle in the grocery store.
Yeah, you did. So you don't have any for you.
I didn't buy them. I didn't buy them.
Thank God.
So, but I was compelled to look up and see, like, find out what was going on with these mystery Doritos, because you know that's fast food is always,
Geraldine,
and junk food is always fascinating.
So I can't stand it, and not that I don't love talking about mystery Doritos, but we just have such a big announcement that from Susan that I don't want to wait. Do we have to keep waiting?
Well, we talk about it? Geraldine's looking at her Post-it.
Okay,
she's got more.
I'm afraid she's gonna forget.
Oh, I'm not gonna forget.
Okay, all right,
no, then. I was kind of building up to it.
Oh, like, never mind.
Start with
mystery,
or maybe like mix it up. Like interesting, not so interesting. Interesting,
like Kylo.
Not so interesting.
That's how we pattern our show here.
That's what we like. When I think so, okay. I think not so interesting. I'm sorry, I and jumped the gun because I was too excited.
Okay, no, so okay. Well. I think I'm going to have to do this not so interesting one.
Okay.
Okay. Now, remember a long, long time ago when we contemplated having our own TV show?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, I found the perfect theme song opening for
ooh,
us.
Ooh, yes. That's
like,
good.
When you hear this, like, you'll get it and you'll see our show.
Okay. Oh, my and gosh. Is it like, do you like piña coladas?
Well, you kind of have to imagine sort of a montage of us, like, I wrote it down.
God, I okay. hope it's the theme to One Day at a Time.
Something like, you know, one person, it's like Susan parallel parking in the teeniest spot. Amy and I, like, giving the thumbs up after she right. gets in.
I love it.
One person, maybe Amy, taking the trash out to the garbage can and it, like, the bottom falls. The,
all right.
The bag breaks.
And I'm
just
like, oh, no.
opening an oven and smoke pouring out.
Yes.
Kind of like Laverne and Shirley.
It is the theme to One Day at a Time.
Maybe us, three of us at a bar and somebody doing a spit take.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
And we are standing on the sidewalk and a hot guy walking a dog walks by and we all like turn our heads.
Okay. I love everything about this.
One after the other. And then my last one is has another dog. We get tangled in a leash.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, can I be on roller skates? Can I be on roller skates?
Yes.
Okay.
So now that was a lot of buildup.
Okay.
But here we go.
All the pretty girls on a Saturday night.
So I call your name. Cross my fingers, on cross the others as a tape. Oh, I don't think straight with nothing to prove. I don't wanna say I'm leaving. I'll stay until the weekend. You can take all the things.
That is the best thing I've ever heard in my
life.
Oh
my God.
We are totally making that video.
We added one.
We're going to have a Kickstarter.
Where Geraldine was on the bike doing a spin class.
Right.
And then afterwards eating a bag of Doritos.
Eating a Dorito. Like, oops, you caught me.
That was a song called All the Pretty Girls by the band Fun. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, our theme song.
Yes, totally.
Oh, totally.
I really want to make awesome. That video. That's so funny.
That would be great.
Yeah.
So, project.
That'd be hilarious. Okay.
So now let's jump right into the exciting stuff.
I know.
Okay.
Like, that was pretty exciting. Now this can be in our video too.
Okay, good.
All right. No, this would not be in the
not
video.
Not in the video.
So remember a while ago when I was telling you guys about this friend that has had a husband that told his wife that he had like this dream about this purple vibrator.
I do.
Remember that?
Yes.
And then the wife said, no, that was a dream. I didn't really get a purple vibrator.
Right.
So the other day, I was that person.
No.
So that was
Susan.
Me.
Susan.
That was
I can't
me.
Believe it.
It
you,
was
you
me.
You tricked us. Okay.
Yeah. So, anyway, I had some alone time.
Finally.
After like, when did we go on that trip? Like March? Yeah, the 1st of March, and now it's like
that's a
the
tragedy.
Middle of May.
Yeah.
I had some alone time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember when it was. It was a while, like a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, all right, purple vibrator, it's you and
just me.
Just
me and you.
Let's try this thing out. Let's do this. So like 20 seconds later, I was like, holy fuck. Jesus Christ.
That's so awesome.
Why didn't anyone tell me about this before? Oh, yeah. People did tell me about this before.
I just gave her such a look. Okay, I have so many follow-up questions.
And then, okay. I'm not done yet. And then I told John, I'm like, remember that dream that you told me about that you thought that you had that I had this purple vibrator or something? And he's like, no. He didn't even remember the dream.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, well, it was... I told him what he had said, and he's like, I'm like, well, it was true. I really have it, and it's right here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got this... It's a bunny one, if anyone knows what a bunny vibrator is. It's got the regular dick-dong thing. And then it's got a little extra, like, thing with little ears that kind of vibrate.
Right, extra ears.
And so he was like, oh, wow. Wow. And he was very excited here. And I told him about it. And he's like, wow. And I'm like, yeah, so maybe we can, And he's like, well, like he did not know what to do with that information.
Okay.
And I'm like, you know, maybe you can do your thing and I can do my thing and whatever. Okay, and then he said that you have to name it.
Yeah, you do.
So.
What'd you name it?
He named it Thumper.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good name.
So what, Geralyn, were you going to say?
So I have a question.
So, okay, yes.
So this was your first vibrator orgasm experience.
Yes.
Yeah, that's exciting. Mm-hmm. So did you find it to be really different than a regular orgasm?
It was definitely different. Like, it was so fast.
Yeah.
It came at me so fast.
Yeah.
It was a little bit different. I mean, I've only done it twice since then. I know, sorry.
Yeah.
But it was a little different. It was fun.
Yeah.
Right? Exciting.
Yeah.
And I was giggling a little bit. There was some giggling going on. What else? Yeah, it was interesting.
All right.
And I want to recommend to anyone out there that has not purchased a vibrator yet and has not had an orgasm through a vibrator.
Yeah, you guys got
to
do that.
You need to do that because I waited, 44 years, Susan.
So why did you wait so long?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
Don't wait that long.
It just didn't appeal to you, or...
You're like, I can do it by myself?
Yeah, I can do it by myself, so why do I need a vibrator?
Why don't you need a vibrator?
And now I understand.
Yeah.
Why?
Yes.
It was definitely more... And I was able to... Because I can usually... I'm one of those multi-orgasm people where I can have multiple orgasms. And I did find with the vibrator that it was quite intense, and I could only do... two, I think.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what does multiple mean? Does that mean you just can't have a bunch in a row, or you have a more than one at a time?
No, you have more than, you have some in a row.
Okay.
It means, no, it doesn't mean more than one in a row. It can, that definition can be expanded, like in a session of sex.
Yeah, in a session.
Not like boom, boom, boom. You can do it 20 minutes later.
Oh,
like,
I see. Yeah. Okay.
Well, then I could do that.
Then I could do that too.
Every woman's refractory period is a little bit different. Although, unlike men, we don't have a certain... I mean, some women do not have a refractory period and they can just boom, boom, boom.
Right.
But not everybody can. But in my research, I have I have discovered that it turns out that you can have different types of orgasms, different feelings by using different parts of your body or the vibrator or, say, a dildo would give you a different kind of orgasm than...
That's like a G-spot versus clitoral, right?
Yeah. Or a cervix.
Oh, right. I forgot about the third one now.
Or I've even heard of a skin orgasm.
What?
Skin orgasm. What? Is that like a chill?
Yeah, or like a good back rub, or
I don't know. And then of course there's the anal orgasm. I mean, it just goes on and on.
Damn.
But anyway, the more
you mention, the more inadequate I feel.
So people out there can know that the way they've been having their orgasms, they can totally flip it and have a completely different one in another way, just like what happened to Susan.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. You know,
do you prefer? Is it sort of like apples and oranges? Or?
It's apples and oranges. Okay. It's, you know, one way and then the other way.
Hmm. But are the sensations basically the same for both?
I think the regular orgasms for me are... I can't believe I'm talking about this.
Yeah.
But anyway, open and honest wisdom.
Exactly.
Right here.
Here's the wisdom.
Here's the wisdom. the regular with just without a vibrator mm-hmm. clitoral mm-hmm. thing is a little more deeper inside, like a rib. There's like some muscles that I would sometimes would get like a Charlie horse in my rib muscle from orgasm.
Okay.
So, cause I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
And the vibrator one was a little more surfacey where it didn't go as deeply up into my core. I
Interesting.
Guess.
Sometimes my C-section scar aches a little bit afterwards.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, Susan, the good thing is for you, it only took 20 seconds to get there.
Yeah, seriously.
So it was like nothing.
So in your very busy lifestyle,
you can totally just go to the bathroom at school, get off, go back and teach them some math or whatever.
Gross.
That's gross. I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry, guys. That's gross.
So do you feel the... but also you can have different types of vibrators give different types of orgasms, too. Like what you had, the thumper is going to be different from the tooth.
Right.
I have tried a few different kinds, and it's always the same. My orgasm's always the same. Maybe I just use them the same way. I don't know.
This one has like five different speed...
I'll just use the one speed.
Yeah, fast, right?
Bzzz,
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
On.
Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, I mean, I've tried the other ones and it's just like, it's not for me.
I was amazed that like, I didn't even touch myself.
Yeah, no, you don't got to touch yourself.
Nope, you don't got
to touch the thing and the thing touches you.
The thing to the thing.
And yeah, the thing to the thing.
So let's celebrate Susan's entry into the
womanhood
thumper world.
Yeah.
And listen to another voicemail. Here we go.
Hi, The Cuz Show. This is Jenny in Charlotte. I am a longtime listener, almost 3 years now, and also a longtime lurker. But I was so upset by Geralyn's visit to her doctor this week that I had to call in just to make her feel better. And I did want to say I had a recommendation from the show two ago because I just listened to it for jeans. I love Joe's jeans because I've got a bit of a booty. And they keep it in. They don't stretch too much, which I like. So I love the show. I'll keep listening and hope you guys have a great day. Bye.
Thank you, Jenny. That was great. And I love Joe's jeans too.
That reminds me of Amy, when you and I were first becoming friends, mm-hmm. we started a Facebook thread and you recommended Joe's jeans, mm-hmm. the honey.
Yeah, no, I'm a fan of Joe's jeans.
For people with a big butt.
Or any kind of butt.
A fuller, not a big butt. A
curvy?
Curvy. That's there what I mean. I like Joe's jeans too.
I like the honey. And my butt is proportionate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But thank you, Jenny, for calling in to commiserate or to acknowledge my crappy doctor visit. That's very, very sweet of you. And I love that she's been listening to us for 3 years.
I know. Amazing.
And she just now crawled out of the woodwork.
Long time lurker. It's great.
I love it.
It's great.
That's really...
I also have a jeans update.
Oh, okay.
Remember I said that there was a friend of mine that had an awesome pair of jeans, but I couldn't remember the name get back to you? So I got it.
Mm-hmm.
They are called Page Premium, and you can get them at Nordstrom.
Hmm. I've never heard of
them. And Page is spelled P-A-I-G-E.
I have a pair of Page jeans.
Yeah. I don't. I want to get some.
They're good.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Aliki. Shout out to
Aliki. Thanks, Aliki. I'm wearing Aliki's jeans right now. Aliki, they were too... Susan didn't want them, so she gave them to me.
Yep.
And they're very cute.
They were too low for me.
Not too low for me.
Kind of hoochie.
I like the hoochie.
So, Page jeans at Nordstrom. Mm-hmm.
Might
be the way to go.
I would like to try those.
They're kind of expensive, but evidently they're worth it.
All jeans are. Joe's are super expensive. Mm. Yeah.
So, now, Susan, did you mention you had an interesting dream?
I did have an interesting dream just last night. Have you heard of a shooting gallery?
Yeah.
So you go and you can use all these different kind of guns and you can shoot at targets. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun. But last night I had a pooping gallery dream.
What? Gross.
Yeah, it was really sick. I don't know where my mind is at right now. So I went in and it's a pooping gallery. It's like a theater with seats and you poop on the seats.
Uh-huh.
And then so we're all sitting there. You go in nice and clean. Clean facility. The lights were a little low.
Uh-huh.
Black kind of velvet seats.
Okay.
And the lady came out and said, "Hello, welcome to the pooping gallery. You may think that the seats are all dirty with poop, but they're not. We have this special cleaning instrument. It's right here." And she showed us the cleaning. It looked like a dust devil.
Uh-huh.
Or a dirt devil.
Mm-hmm.
Dirt devil. And she's like, you just go poop on the seats and you can pee also. And then we'll clean up after you. Thank you. And then, like, people started pulling down their pants.
Oh, my God.
And pooping on the chairs.
That's
and I was
crazy.
Like, oh, my God, this is so weird. Well, okay, here we go. I guess I'm going to do it.
Oh, my gosh.
So I start to pull my pants down, and I'm like, oh, my God, I can't do this.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm just going to just, like, walk out. No one will see me. And I walk out into the aisle, and there's just poop everywhere.
Ew.
There's just shit
Ew.
Everywhere in my dream, and I'm trying to step over it.
Ooh.
And then all of a sudden, people start yelling and screaming and running out of there, and there's all this poop, and people are slipping in it, and there's pee dripping from the ceiling.
Ew.
It was disgusting.
Are you okay?
I don't know what it was all about.
Did you have to get up and go to the bathroom?
I let out a big fart in the morning.
Well, maybe that's all your body was trying to tell you.
I think so.
That dream is very disturbing.
God, it was awful.
That's so twisted.
And I told my husband, and he was just like rolling on the ground laughing. He thought it was the funniest
thing.
I was like, it was awful.
That's so gross.
Well, you know what poop is supposed to symbolize in dreams?
What? Poop?
Money.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm just drowning in money.
I guess.
I wouldn't get that from a dream.
Of course it does. No, yeah. I don't know. But, that sounds like if I had that dream, I would wake up a little bit scared.
Yeah, me too.
It was very strange.
Oh, we love the strange dreams.
Yeah.
Now, Amy, did you have a book?
Oh, yeah, I'm reading a book. That's good. I haven't talked about a book in a long time. But and of course, I forgot the author. But this book is called The Night Gwen Stacy Died by somebody Bruni, B-R-U-N-I, I believe. It's weird and it's good. And it takes place at the beginning, at least in Iowa City, which is where I went to college. And it's about the 17-year-old girl who's a senior in high school. She wants to graduate and go to Paris. That's like her big dream. She's learning French. She works at a gas station. And then this man comes in named Peter Parker, who she kind of gets a little crush on.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this whole Spider-Man connection. And then he like pretends to rob the gas station, and they run away together to Chicago. And he starts her name's Sheila, but he starts calling her Gwen Stacy, who's the name of Peter Parker's first girlfriend. Dies, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And it's like this very strange, it just keeps getting weirder and weirder. Like, he kind of has dreams that can tell the future, and that's kind of, he like, something bad's gonna happen to her, and that's why he had to take her to Chicago. And it's just, it's bizarre, but it's really good.
Did you say he pretended to rob the store?
Yeah, he pretends to rob. She wants to run away with him, like, he starts to rob it, and then she sees a security camera, so she's just like, point the gun at me, so it looks like he's robbing the gas station, and then they take the money and they leave.
Weird.
I know. Okay. It's good, though.
Huh.
I haven't really ruined it too much for people, I hope.
Okay. No, it
that stuff
good.
Happens at the beginning. Yeah,
it sounds really good.
Yeah, it is. It's bizarre and it's good.
I made the effort to finish The Goldfinch.
How'd you like it?
I had like 10 pages to read. It was really good. It's really good. I can lend it
sure.
to you now. I have two copies. One only has the 95% of the text.
No, I want the whole copy. I want the whole thing.
Well, it's great. And everybody I know loves it, except one person,
mm-hmm.
Coochie Shannon, said it was boring.
Oh, Coochie Shannon.
On Instagram, and I said, give it another couple chapters and then see. So don't.
Okay.
Of course, there's no accounting for taste, but.
yes, Coochie Shannon. Besides, she's so perfect. She has to have a flaw.
That she doesn't like.
Yeah, exactly.
The
Goldfinch.
Yeah. Well, now, we are planning on recording next week,
mm-hmm.
Thursday. But then on Saturday, I hop on Air Tahiti to get myself over to Paris.
Oh, my gosh.
And I feel like I'm becoming a pretty good traveler. I'm going to give some travel tips.
Oh, good.
So you guys can add. Are you a good traveler, Amy? You must be going back and forth to Chicago.
Yeah, I don't like to fly very much, but I think
traveler.
I'm a decent traveler.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can back me up on this. Prepare.
I would like to know
what
makes a good traveler versus what makes a bad traveler.
Well, I think, I mean,
someone that throws up on planes, bad traveler.
True.
No, I mean, if you get,
someone that can't go with the flow, I guess, bad
or
traveler.
Or has anticipatory anxiety, like getting to the airport, like, oh my God, where am I going to park?
Yeah,
the shuttle, how do I get to the blah, blah.
Right,
you know, can I bring my bottle of water in? Blah, blah,
right.
blah. You know, just, I mean, perhaps I wasn't that bad, but I did have a little bit of anxiety just figuring out how to get, I mean, I've missed planes by not arriving at the airport too early, you
mm-hmm.
know,
mm.
and
I have two.
That's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so prepare in advance. If
mm-hmm.
you're going overseas, get your money exchanged in advance. It's easier to do mm-hmm. than at the airport. And then it turns out the New York Times has a column called The Frugal Traveler,
mm.
by Seth somebody, and he has a lot of good tips. He's got he will alert you to bargains going on around, you know, international and domestic flights. And as I was searching for a travel carry-on luggage piece, he had a column on the best piece of luggage for international travel traveling, and I ordered it because he had said such good things about it. He tested the weights and the carrying capacity and the handle strength of all these different top brands like Samsonite and Tumi. And he ended up buying the REI Wheelie Beast, a 21-inch luggage piece that it's not, you know, beautiful. It's just black and gray. And I think you can get it in like, you know, tan and green or something. So it's an REI. It's $150 and it's got like lots of zippers. It's lightweight. It comes in the carry-on size you know, you can bring it on your plane. It's supposed to be just the best, easy to load, most durable bag on the market.
Oh, very nice.
So people can check out the REI Wheelie Beast. If they're
REI
looking.
Wheelie Beast. Okay.
No, it's easy to remember.
I need a medium size. I have like a carry-on size and like a humongous size, and I need a medium size.
This
suitcase.
Is a medium size.
So if it's, I need something bigger than carry-on.
Oh, okay.
Because I have a carry-on one already.
Well, so, Geraldine, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Are you going to do the Geraldine packing system you did last time?
I am.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
I have to pick out all the clothes I don't want, bring them with me, and then
leave them there.
Throw them away as I go, and then come back
with a whole new wardrobe.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. No, I mean, the only thing, I mean, it's going to be hot there, I think, and it's probably going to be like smoggy. And because did you hear that earlier this month, Paris offered free public transportation to everyone in the city because the cars were creating so much pollution and smog that it was really detrimental to the city. So they were like, for this weekend, everybody rides for free.
Wow.
Because it's supposed to be so smoggy, which doesn't sound that great. No. So yeah, we'll see. I am going to try my best to travel light I'm going to eat as much as I can.
Good.
And I think maybe, and everything's super expensive over there, so I'm not going to shop at all. I'll look.
Yeah.
And take pictures.
Go to the thrift stores, Paris thrift stores.
I don't know. I mean, that's so hit or miss. I want to like maximize my time.
Yeah.
So I'm doing 50% of the things that I did when I was there in December, going back to the same restaurants, looking in the same shops. And then I'll try 50% new stuff.
Good plan.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's my plan.
Very cool.
So that leads us to almost the end of the show, and we're going to wrap it up, but we do have a little bit of makeup talk, so we will bring it. And ladies, do you have any parting words? And we're back. We've got a little bit of makeup talk. And one thing I wanted to alert people about, there's this new makeup brush collection, and it's kind of innovative that this is makeup brushes that are designed not to be used by someone else on you. They're designed to be used by you. So they are invented for self-application.
Isn't that what Susan did with the thumper? Okay, yeah.
The handles are configured along the lines of the finger, making the brush easier to use on oneself. This is the Artis Elite Collection that was created by a former Mac executive. Mm-hmm. And he made 10 multi-purpose brushes that you can use on you.
Wow.
That should be their tagline.
Yeah.
You can use on you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
and how much are they?
And if they're multi-purpose, why do you need 10? Shouldn't you just have one?
Well, I don't know. They do not have the typical goat, pony, or weasel hair bristles.
Weasel.
They've been made with a Cosmo fiber, a patented man-made fiber with a precisely tapered end. So apparently this is a huge revolutionary step forward for the makeup brush industry.
Okay. Well then.
And that leads me to something else by Mac. This is a good time to talk about my silver eyeliner.
Yes, it is.
Yes, perfect time.
Geraldine has remnants of silver eyeliner on right now, and it looks great.
I have been using a MAC silver liquid eyeliner. I put it on in the morning, and I put it on the lid of my eye, like kind of doing the garage door.
Yeah.
Right.
Wait, you put it on, you put the eyeliner on all over your lid?
Just one stripe of it, and then under at the lash line, I do a black cat eye.
So where do you put the eyeliner? Like in the middle of your lid, on top?
Middle of my lid.
But isn't the brush really thin, so it doesn't cover your whole lid, right?
Well, it's tapered, so it's like it's
a line.
But yeah. If it's an eyeliner brush, it's probably a thin line.
No. This is, it's more like, imagine a pyramid, an upside down pyramid.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Like a cone?
Yeah. Okay.
Or upside down pyramid. Is what okay. call it. So, if you press down a little bit more, you're getting more makeup onto your lid.
Okay.
And so, but I do use a, what are they called? The foundation that makes your...
Oh, the primer?
Primer. I use the eyelid primer. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I put on this silver eyeliner at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I've gone all day. I've gone to work. It's been hot as hell out, mm-hmm. so sweating mm-hmm. on my way home. I came home. I washed my face. I took eye makeup remover from Target and a cotton ball and like wiped off my eye makeup. And yet,
it still looks great.
This silver eyeliner is still existing on my lids, so it's hard as hell to take off.
Yeah, but you look good in the meantime.
Yeah, so it's like if you're traveling or going to the beach and you want your eyeliners to stay on,
or having a sleepover.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
Try this. But if you want it to come off easily, then don't try the MAC liquid
it's
eyeliner.
It's a commitment.
Yes, exactly. So now that we're done talking about liquid eyeliner, I want to throw something out there to you guys and just tell me what you think.
Okay,
this is like a good idea or a bad idea?
Ooh, okay. Good question.
But on Sunday, after I got out of my spinning class, I was walking down the street feeling like, you know, all my endorphins rushing, just, you know, happy as can be. And I walked by a place that said Paradise Tan.
Uh-oh. I see where this is going.
And I walked in. I was like, what? No, I was like, to the lady at the counter, she was not very nice or helpful. So. She kind of put a damper on my mood.
Uh-huh.
But so they had the Mystic Tan where you, mm-hmm. they had all these different assortments. You could have a Mystic Tan where they spray on a fake tan on you, mm-hmm. right? You go into a booth, like kind of like a photo booth,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or you can get someone to apply it, and mm-hmm. that's a little mm-hmm. bit more expensive. They, like one person will individually customize, spray it on you.
I can imagine like a tiny little Korean man with a tiny little brush.
Or
just like putting it on you, yeah.
Or you can do the old-fashioned tanning beds.
Mm-hmm.
But with these tanning beds, you can turn off the face area. Mm. So it's just your body. And also it's like, I think per session it was like $17 or maybe like 5 sessions for $45. I don't remember exactly. Would you guys ever pay for a tan?
Yeah.
No.
I would.
Have you ever before?
No, I never have. I you know, when I was in college, I did go to tanning beds.
Okay.
Not often, the same thing? But just...
That's what I'm talking about.
But not, it wasn't a spray-on. Like, I would consider a spray-on now. Uh-huh. I don't think I would do a tanning bed now.
Hmm. Okay.
Because you just have to lay there. And these, the ones that I got, I guess they just replaced the bulbs or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I had like 5 red stripes on my back for a very long time.
That's funny.
Like all summer.
Oh, I think
it was awful.
Over the many, many years, technology
they've probably
been updated. But
it has been.
I mean, it's not good for your skin in the long run.
No,
I just have learned to like.
But what about like
live with the white,
a little
white
color,
pale girl?
Your blue legs
and my blue legs. Are you looking at my blue legs?
Yeah,
she's looking at my blue legs.
Well, you're wearing white pants.
Yep,
and your legs are whiter.
I've got some blue legs.
The
yep.
White pants.
Nope.
Have you ever had a tan, or are you someone who tans easily?
Oh gosh, no. I burn.
Okay.
And sometimes I'll get a little bit of a tan, but I'm so pale you can't really. I just look less pale.
It's like too little, too late.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's why I'm less pale. And sometimes a little pink in the face.
So my thighs are the same color as your calves.
I mean, you're just naturally, your skin tone is just naturally darker than mine. Most people's are.
So for your photo shoot, you can do like the goth look of like pale white powder.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah, and Geraldine,
like, purple lipstick.
Yes, and Geraldine could be the California
girl. I'm
going to
be Beach Bunny.
Okay. Uh-huh.
With pink frosty lipstick.
Okay.
And roller skates. Yeah. And like the high
knees. Took my skates away. What are you going to be?
What am I going to be?
I don't want to be goth girl.
I'll be the bohemian. You don't want to be goth girl?
No,
I could be goth girl.
I don't want you to be goth girl either.
Okay.
No goth girls.
No goth girls.
I see Susan as... sexy gypsy, of course.
Yeah, sexy gypsy.
Yes, slutty fortune teller.
I'll be sexy pixie. How about that?
That's good.
Sexy pixie.
Okay. Yeah. And so we're gonna get all these themes in one mm-hmm. photo, uh-huh. in a dungeon.
Yes.
Or boudoir.
That sounds great.
It does.
Okay, well, that will wrap it up for this week's episode of the Because Show. And I always forget to say this, but we are part of the Bald Move Network.
Yes, we are. Sorry, guys.
And those guys are so innovative and have their shit together so much that they are podcasting as their day jobs now.
Amazing.
It is amazing. And people can support us in supporting them by going to baldmove.com, checking out their other content. They're doing a Game of Thrones podcast right now. They're mm-hmm. always... So now that they have full-time capabilities, they're doing longer podcasts, more podcasts, different podcasts. It's great. And I support them wholeheartedly.
Me too. That's
and
great.
If you ever have anything to order through Amazon, go to the Bald Move site first, mm-hmm. click on the Amazon link, mm-hmm. and that helps support them as well as us.
Yeah.
Right. That totally is the way
Pays
to do
for
it.
The bandwidth
so,
and
yeah, that know. Amazon.com affiliate link is the way to go, definitely. And people, of course, can reach out to talk to us on Facebook or on Twitter at the Because. And if they want to write an email, they can always do so by writing TheBecauseShow@baldmove.com.
And we love your voicemails. Keep them coming.
That is 818-643-1565. If you want to call us. Oh my gosh, we actually have one more voicemail that I forgot about.
Okay,
let's listen.
Hi, Because Show ladies. I'm calling because you sounded like you need some voicemail love. Also because I have a slut shaming story and I thought I could share it. I went to my doctor just for my normal, you know, yearly lady visit, and she asked how many sexual partners I'd ever had, and when I told her I just had my husband, she goes, "Oh, that's so refreshing to hear." And I was just kind of like, well, I mean, what would you have said if I'd said a dozen or more or 100? I mean, come on, it's none of your business. Judgment-free zone here. That just happens to be the way my life is, you know. Anyway, I just thought that, you know, got these older ladies out here that maybe should work on their bedside manner, apparently. And we should all be respectful of each other and our experiences. Anyway, I think you guys are awesome, and I hope you have a wonderful, and you're having a wonderful week, and you're full of happiness. Bye.
That's a great way to end the show.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah, no, slut shaming bad.
Yeah.
Doctors got to be careful about that.
Fooey on judgy doctors. No, yes. No one needs them.
No.
So, yeah, thanks for calling. That was great. Mm-hmm. And I hope you're having a great week, too.
Yes.
So, we will be back next week. And parting words, you guys are done.
I was like, what? I was